Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. This is Steve Williamson, co-host Mike Cosentino, and I will be interviewing one of the most prominent Democrats in Arizona, Kyrsten Sinema. Kyrsten is a Democratic state senator from the Central Phoenix area. She served in the Arizona House of Representatives for three terms before moving on to the state Senate. She has her law degree, master's in social work, and last I heard she was working on a PhD. She teaches at ASU and has a criminal law practice in the Phoenix area. In 2009, she wrote a book, Unite and Conquer, How to Build Coalitions That Win and Last, and Mike's going to be asking you about your book, Kyrsten. She was selected as one of Time Magazine's 40 Under 40, one of the outstanding politicians under 40 in the whole United States. Nation Magazine picked her as the most outstanding state legislator in the United States last year.
I would love to have you introduce me everywhere I go.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being with us today up in Sedona. And I guess the thing we want to ask you about first is, let's talk about the legislature and this year's legislative session. My sense in talking to Democrats here in Northern Arizona, and they're not public figures, is that they see the legislature not so much as conservative or even right-wing, but as kind of over-the-top crazy. They don't understand a lot of the bills, hours and hours spent on birther bills and license plates and all the rest of it. The legislature seems to want to pass bills that are unconstitutional. And then my conservative friends are not saying much this year. Last year we debated SB 1070 among ourselves. This year they're real quiet. There was no reaction to Russell Pierce's anti-immigrant legislation being defeated or the governor vetoing the birther bill. Just no reaction at all. I don't know whether the legislature is really addressing kind of central economic issues that face Northern Arizona.
Well, the fact is that this year's Arizona legislative session was the worst in my lifetime, and I'm a native Arizonan. I've lived here my whole life, and I've never seen or experienced anything like this. You know, in the midst of the greatest recession that Arizona has ever weathered, when all we really need to focus on are jobs and the economy and getting our kids in schools that are doing the right thing and preparing them for college. In the midst of those great needs, we've got a legislature that's passing legislation to name the Colt 45 as a state gun, debating whether or not Obama's an American, and giving state funds and resources to the Tea Party to create license plates. Now, that's just crazy. It's just crazy. Because what they didn't do was create a single job this year. In fact, their budget cut jobs and will make life even harder for middle-class and working Arizonans. So this year's legislative session was absolutely upside down in terms of its priorities. And the reason I think you see many principled conservatives staying pretty quiet is that they're not proud of what this legislature has done. This legislature is not a principled conservative legislature. They're kind of wackadoodle. You know, they've just gone over the deep end. And, you know, they're doing things that Ronald Reagan would never dream of doing. So I think a lot of people are embarrassed about what this legislature has focused its energy on this year.
Yeah, I guess that's what I hear from Republicans is just sort of not much. They don't want to talk about the legislature. I suppose in the last few years of the Bush administration, they didn't want to talk about, you know, the war in Iraq and something. There's this sort of sudden silence. But I don't see that the legislature is really preserving or persevering in going after conservative issues. It's just kind of all over the place, or at least that's the way it appears when we look at it from afar.
Yeah, they haven't really been focused on what I would call the Reagan kind of principles, right? Principled conservative issues, that's not really their cup of tea. They're more along the lines of the Tea Party kinds of folks. So issues that are just not relevant to Arizonans, that aren't the bread and butter issues that regular Arizonans are focused on. What we should be spending our time on is job creation, restoring our economy, and fixing our schools. And really, they did none of that this year.
Your drop house bill got passed and was signed by the governor. Do you think people are beginning to distinguish between real criminals and people who are working here illegally? I don't see the anger at immigrants here in northern Arizona. Most people think they're nice folks and they're doing a good job and so forth and so on. Conservatives just are sticklers. They're, however nice they are, however much they're contributing to northern Arizona, they don't have the proper papers to be here, and so they should go home.
Right, and I think it's really important that we create this distinction, and bills like My Drop House will help create that distinction. Most Arizonans, and Americans for that matter, believe that people who are here without papers need to get right with the law. They need to, you know, pay a fine, get in line, learn English, and they need to make amends. But those individuals are basically good people who've broken some minor rules. They need to make amends, get right with the law, and get back on track. Those people are very, very different than the criminals who operate drop houses. And my legislation seeks to punish the people who operate these very violent places where they kidnap children, rape women, and abuse and beat innocent people. And this kind of legislation really helps create this difference between people who are dangerous and people who are just workers. My legislation seeks to do what I think we can all agree on, which is to crack down on the criminals who are exploiting innocent people and hurting them and violating them in these drop houses. So I'm very pleased the bill passed, and I'm just delighted the governor signed the bill.
People up here are worried about all of the people being forced off access. I mean, it's not very generous to start with. I know a couple that had five kids, and when they got married, then they were suddenly had more income, and them and all their kids were dropped off access. Is this going to get just worse and worse? And what happens when folks get to be 65 and there's no longer the kind of Medicare that folks have experienced in the past?
Right. Well, Governor Brewer and the Republicans in the legislature have cooked up a plan to eliminate access for hundreds of thousands of Arizonans. But we plan to sue the state of Arizona to stop the governor from implementing those cuts. And the reason is quite simple. She doesn't have the authority to cut this health care because it's a voter-protected health care program. The voters actually instituted this health care system back in the year 2000 when we all voted for Prop 204. And the governor is trying to undo that. But she doesn't have the right. The bottom line is the only people who can undo that health care system are the same people who created it, and that's the voters of Arizona. So we're going to sue her to stop her from doing this. We think we'll be successful. And the bigger fight goes to Congress. How do we protect Medicare from the greedy hands of the Republicans in Congress who want to eliminate and increase the cost by double for Arizona seniors? That's just unconscionable.
I mean, Arizona seniors, a lot of them don't have a lot of money to start with. And if they had to pay more for their Medicare, that would force a lot of them into poverty that Medicare helped eliminate.
Well, that's exactly the case. You know, my grandma's a perfect example. She was widowed at a very young age. Her husband died of tuberculosis. And she raised three kids on her own without much education. So at the age of 25, here she is, a young widow, no education. And she begins working at First Cafeteria. And she raised all three of her kids, including my mom, on a salary at First Cafeteria. So when she retired a few years ago, she had a very, very small fixed income. So she's on Medicare and Medicaid. Now, if Congress succeeds in making these cuts to Medicare, my grandma's health care costs will double every single year. She can't afford that because the cost of that doubling is almost as much as she makes in retirement.
I guess the other issue I hear, particularly from Democrats up here and from people I don't even know what their political party is that I talk to, is worry about education in Arizona. What's happening to our education system?
you know, what's incredible is to see the damage that's been done to public education in the last couple of years. Prior to this year's legislative session, the legislature cut $1.2 billion from public education. That's literally thousands of dollars out of each school every single year. But this year, the legislature did even worse. They cut another $200 million from K-12 schools and another almost $200 million from universities. And what that means in real life is quite simply that elementary school children are going to go to school this coming fall with class sizes of 35, even 40 students. And at our universities, we're going to see tuition go from about $7,500 a year above $10,000 a year per student at our universities. So these cuts are just devastating and by far the worst cuts we're seeing in any state across the country.
Kirsten, I'm going to put Mike on. He's a big fan of your book. I think particularly because it tries to cut across the Democratic-Republican lines and establish some mutual communication. And
yes, yeah, I was just reading the section where you said Russell Pierce loves his wife. I probably need to read that over 10 or 12 times.
You know, it's funny. I actually get some heat from this on the left where some people on the left will get mad at me because I get along well with Russell Pierce. And, you know, it wasn't always like that. I didn't used to get along with him because I saw him as being kind of a picture of all that was wrong in Arizona. And to be honest, he probably saw me as the same, a picture of what was wrong with Arizona. But after I took some time to actually get to know him and listen to him, I realized this, that although he and I disagree on almost every issue, that he believes what his opinions are, just like I believe what my opinions are. And so by treating him as a human being and trying to love him for who he is, even if I don't agree with him, has really made life better for me at the Capitol. I'm not near as angry as I used to be, And second of all, there are occasions where he and I will agree on something. And in those instances, he can help me accomplish the goals that I want to accomplish. And that's really useful.
Hitler painted flowers, I think, and Goebbels collected butterflies. So that's great, and I appreciate that, and I enjoyed that part of the book. I wanted to talk about, and I do have a couple questions here relating to Russell, and that is, here real quickly, you talk about letting go of the bear and picking up the Buddha. I get it, I understand that, but does Russell Pierce?
Well, he's just a big bear. So the whole concept of letting go of the bear and picking up the Buddha is quite simply something that you do internally when you're engaging in politics. And this is a big lesson for me. I used to take everything very personally, and I would get so upset and be so hurt and angry about what was happening. And what I realized that was the only person at the Capitol who was really suffering was me. No one else was suffering. It was just me being unhappy. And so I had to learn to let go of all of that and realize that other people are engaging in the behavior that they're engaging in because they believe in it, not because they want to hurt me personally. So once I stopped taking things personally, I realized that they were just doing what they believed, even if I disagree. And so I didn't find myself to be as offended or hurt by it. Now, that's not to say that I don't still get upset sometimes because this year, this year was a trying year. But what I found is that rather than being angry and yelling or storming around, that if I take some time to calm down, find my own kind of sense of inner peace, that I can then react or not react in a way that fits my values. So that really returns the locus of control back to me so that every decision I'm making is truly my decision, that I'm not just reacting automatically to other people's triggers, that I'm really doing what's right for me. And it's made me a much better, much, much better politician, and it's helped me be a happier person. And I'll tell you, there's nothing that's more important to me at the legislature than being happy, because I was so miserable when I started this job that I need a lot of help to help me stay calm and stay happy doing this job.
Well, you're certainly one of the best politicians in Arizona, one of the most effective, nationally recognized. We want to thank you for being with us today on Democratic Perspective. We really enjoyed talking to you. We suggest folks take a look at Kirsten's book. Mike, what's the title there?
Unite and Conquer, 2009, copyright.
Next week, we'll be interviewing Howard Dean live on KAZM. Democratic Perspective. You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.